Welcome to Black Teachers Connect podcast, a podcast for all things education. Welcome to Black Teachers Connect podcast. This is lesson one. So this is the first of many podcasts to come. Mm-hmm. I am joined with Michelle. Michelle, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, I am Michelle. I'm currently training to be a social science teacher.
Okay, perfect. And as you guys know, some of you might know, my name is Rhea. I'm currently training also to be a sociology teacher, and we both start full-time in September. Mm-hmm. So this podcast, this episode is basically going to be talking about our first year of teaching as young Black teachers, our experiences, what advice we can give, and so on. Okay, so the first thing I want us to just discuss is the background of our course, so the PGCE, and what is it and how long does that take? So Michelle, do you want to talk a little bit about the PGCE?
Yeah, so the PGCE is a postgraduate certificate of education. Mm-hmm. So you apply to do it after you have done your undergrad course, and it's a one-year course that you can do in basically any subject. So the qualification will allow you to teach that subject. So we've currently done the social sciences PGCE, so meaning that we can teach the social sciences with this qualification.
Yeah. So literally it takes like 1 year to complete. You can do it part-time. So I know some people that have done it part-time, and that takes 2 years. So you can also work on the side, because our PGCE a bursary.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to have another episode talking about the different routes into teaching, what you get with those different routes, for example, like the money side and things like that. I think we'll have a separate podcast about that, but our one isn't funded, so some people rather do it part-time. Mm-hmm. On the side as well. So we've literally just finished. We've got how many? We've got what, 3 weeks left?
Yeah, we finished on the 21st of June.
Yeah, 21st of June. So this podcast will be coming out on the 8th of June. So by that time, we'll have about 2 or 3 weeks left and really not long to go. So I want to literally just go straight into our motivation to becoming teachers.
I did teaching assistant and like support staff in like different schools for about 3 years.
Yeah.
And while doing that, so I really enjoyed doing it, and it reaffirmed my decision to work with young people, especially like secondary school children. Mm-hmm. So while doing it, I realized that I wanted to be more of a leader in the classroom.
Yeah.
I wanted to take more of a leadership role rather than sitting at the back of the classroom, like one-to-one with a child. I wanted to actually like facilitate the learning in the classroom. I enjoy sociology a lot. It's a subject that I really enjoyed when I was in school myself. So it's something that I want to develop other pupils' passion for the subject as well. So I decided, why didn't I go into teaching?
Yeah, exactly. And that motivation behind it is with me as well. It's always the young people. Yeah. I think I can't see myself working behind a desk and not having an impact.
Exactly.
I think that's one of the biggest things as well with teaching. Your motivation has to be there. So if you're not motivated to work with young people, if you're not motivated to be in a classroom, then like you're not gonna last. And I think that's really, really important. And I think that's one thing that's kept us all going through our PGCE, because it's really testing.
They notice when a teacher is not motivated. They know when a teacher doesn't want to be there. They can feel your energy. They can read how motivated you are. They can read if you are not passionate about what you are teaching. They can tell.
Exactly. And once they can tell that, it makes it a lot more difficult in the classroom. That behavior, engagement, everything falls off. So would you say that in the past year through doing the PGCE, has your motivation changed at all?
I would say yes, positively. I would say that I'm really motivated for the kids to achieve like success. I want them to achieve in whatever subject that they're doing, and not just in my subject, but I feel like as a teacher in the position we are, and like us being role models, we can actually help them with their other subjects as well. Like, even if it's like giving them advice about how to cope with maybe difficult home situations, or how to like cope with studying and like revision, and like how to manage their stress load and their workload. So I'd say, like, definitely when you're teaching a child, and even like the other pupils, when you're teaching them, like, you definitely feel a sense of responsibility for them. Like, sometimes you see them getting in trouble with another teacher, and you just feel, oh, damn, what have they done now? And you just you want to talk to them, just like, why are you behaving like this with other teachers? Don't do that. And
Exactly. I think for me, the motivation has slightly changed, but it's changed positively. I wouldn't say it's negatively. The only thing which I think we'll touch on later is obviously the workload.
I've seen people leave as well.
Yeah, you've seen people leave the course. Give us a bit of brief overview of that. You've seen people leave the course, and why did they leave the course?
So one person I know left because he couldn't handle the workload.
Yeah.
And like, it was just too much. The pressure was too much. They couldn't deal with it anymore. So that was one motivation for like that person leaving. And like I felt really sad, and I was just like, wow. Like,
I don't know. That's just how it goes for some people, and it's really sad. I wanted us to give one piece of advice to someone who is currently thinking about becoming a teacher. What's one piece of advice you'd give to them? And I'll give mine after you.
I'd say one piece of advice, I would just say that be prepared to change as a person. I feel that teacher training and just teaching in general, it pushes you to new levels. It pushes you to learn different things about yourself. I'd say make sure that you are organized and keep your health like number one. Like, always keep your health as the most important thing. Like, don't let your health subside because of the course and because of teaching. Like, you being a healthy individual is just as important as you being a good teacher. So I'd say, like, always make sure that you consider your health and your well-being, not just your physical health, but like your mental health as well.
Exactly. That burnout that people talk about, that burnout that you can really, that can really happen from teaching, is real. I've never felt a burnout like I felt, I think, running up to the December to the Christmas holidays.
That is the worst term.
Oh my god,
that is, it's the longest holidays. One as well.
It's so long. You wake up every single morning, outside is dark, you're
and
driving,
it's cold, yeah.
Kids are in a bad mood, you're in a bad mood, you're teaching for the money, you're making the wrong decision. This 100%. Is not a place for the money. You're teaching, the experience. Michelle, give us your overview. How has your first year of teaching been? I'll cut in where I feel necessary.
It has been stressful but rewarding. So stress in terms of I wasn't expecting the workload to be so intense. So, yeah, that was a big shock. Like, it was really intense. Also, like, you have to be, like, really organized as a teacher. And I can be quite organized. But when it came to teaching, it was a different level of organization that I had to adjust to.
That you have to adjust to. If I could, I would insert a picture of the teacher planner that we all tend to use. But guys, if you see my teacher planner, it looks like a damn mess. Like, I'm writing here, highlighting there, there. Because as soon as one thing's done, another thing needs doing. You mark 30 books, but you realize you also have another class of 30, so that needs marking too. Oh my gosh. It's, even talking about it is stressful, to be honest with you. When you think about it, it's actually stressful. Yeah. So what would you say one of your worst experiences was? I'm going to talk about my worst experience, but what do you think your worst experience has
I'd
been?
Say my worst experience was when a child accused me of picking on them. So, like, because of that, it created an atmosphere in the classroom, because this child now, you know, basically made themselves a victim in the rest of the classroom. So it was almost like the class were now against me. So that was hard to adjust to, because I had to not take it personally. And, you know, my mentor was so helpful. And then she spoke to me and she just said, you need to be resilient. You need to act like this doesn't faze you. When deep down I was thinking, oh my God, I'm a failure. Mm-hmm. Why do the kids hate me? I've done nothing wrong. But yeah, so I had to like be resilient and just not let it get to me and just let it wash over me. But it was hard.
And see, that's one of the hardest things as well. Resilience is a big thing for teachers, because what people need to understand is with teaching, it's literally like a performance. Mm-hmm. You're getting up every day, you're going on a stage and you're performing to these kids no matter what's going on in your life. People forget that your everyday life has an impact on you. But when you're a teacher, you have to learn to hide it. You can't break down in front of 30 kids and start crying because, you know, you had an argument with your partner last night, you fell out with a friend last week. It's not that the classroom and personal life are two separate things, and you can't bring them together, and it can't break you, and you have to be resilient in the classroom. So with that, when you're saying a kid didn't like you, I had a similar experience. Yeah. So my first school that I was in was quite like similar to the way I am. The kids reminded me of me. However, my second school was quite middle class, quite white. Yeah. I tell you, guys, some of the kids, they didn't like me. No. They did not like me. They didn't like me because I was so frank and so open with how I spoke. Yeah. And, you know, my behavior management is something that I'm normally praised on. But with these kids, they became so combative towards me. And I think it also was related to the lack of black teachers in that school. So for them, they saw me and it was like, okay, like, who is this woman? Like, who is she? And I always just felt like I felt like the side chick. I'll be honest. I felt like a side chick.
You felt like you didn't fit in.
I felt like a side chick. No, I didn't fit in. I felt like a side chick to the teacher. It didn't really make any sense. And it was really difficult to settle into the school. And everyone knows when I left, I was so, so happy. Like, I drove out of there like I was going somewhere. Like, I was going to Dubai. I had to leave so quickly. I was like, no, not coming back here. But I just don't know. At the same time, it's a good experience for me to have because, as you said, it builds resilience in teaching. When you experience that rejection, you know when people say rejection builds character? It's kind of like that.
It does, teaching.
When a child rejects you, it builds your character.
It helps you to be strong and it helps you to not take things personally and keep moving in like the face, like when you're faced with challenges like that.
Exactly. Exactly. So what would you say one of your best experiences has been? Let's switch it up a little bit more positive.
I say my best experience is it's when your class are either talking about or saying things or writing things that you've taught them. So like and then I say the best feeling is that sense of ownership that you're the reason those children know that information, and that is definitely a rewarding feeling because it just shows you that, oh my God, I'm actually having an impact in their learning. I have actually added something to their learning. So yeah, that I would say is some of the best things.
Yeah, so it's just seeing them basically do what you basically taught them and it come into fruition. One of my best experiences, I would say slightly similar. So for any sociologists are listening, you guys might know what labelling is. So labelling is when a teacher labels a student as either lazy or negative or whatever they want to, and they basically believe the student won't amount to anything. I taught that to my year 10s, and one of my favourite moments was seeing them tell their head teacher about what I had taught them. And basically saying that they're going to, like, reject the labels. They're not going to live up to the names of what their teachers think they're going to be. They're going to be better. And I just thought, you know, it's so powerful.
Yeah,
the moments that you see in the classroom is really, really powerful. And these are just everyday moments. And for some people, seeing that wouldn't mean anything. But as a teacher, these small moments mean the world, because that builds you up to continue to do what you're doing. So it's really, really important.
it definitely keeps you going.
Exactly, it keeps you going because it's hard. So I even wanted to just discuss the day in the life of a teacher, so our daily routine. So what do we do in a day as a teacher? For people that don't know, for the educators that aren't listening, what do we do as teachers working? Oh, and we didn't mention before, we're both working in London.
Yeah.
Both London-based teachers. So we both work in London. Not going to specify as to where, but we're both in London. So what is the day in the life in London?
So I get into work early, and the first thing...
What's early for the people that don't know?
So in the first school I was at, I was usually in at 7:30.
Woo! Yeah, 7:30.
They used to start at 8:30.
And you would get in an hour before the kids.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Just to avoid all the traffic, because I was taking public transport.
Okay.
So just to avoid all the traffic and all the kids on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And the second school, I would get there for... Actually, do you know what? I'd get there at the same time, actually.
Damn.
No. I would get there at 8, actually. Yeah. So when I get in, usually I prepare for my lessons for the day. So I make sure that all the resources are printed out and any last minute things are done.
Okay.
And that everything is put together and I know exactly what I'm doing for the day. I eat breakfast because you don't have the time to eat breakfast at home.
Nope.
Yeah, so I eat breakfast, sort that out, start teaching my lessons. After I teach a lesson, as a training teacher, you had to write like lesson evaluations and things like that, so I would do my lesson evaluations, and because usually I used to teach the same two classes the same topic.
Mm-hmm.
So I would tweak anything that didn't go well in one of the lessons so that the same thing wouldn't happen when I had to teach the lesson again. So I'd do that. And then I'd also prepare for future lessons as well. So lessons for the following week, I'd be actively doing that throughout the day as well.
So you'd be planning your lessons. Yeah. And a lot of people, like, when I say to some of my friends who aren't educators, I'm planning a lesson, I think they're like, oh, that should take like 10, 15 minutes. Guys, when you first start out,
takes hours.
A lesson plan might take you 5 or 6 hours. And that's a good time. Sometimes it could take you 12.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And then as you get more experience in your career, it might take you 15 minutes to plan a quick lesson because your resources are all there. But my day's slightly different because I didn't used to plan at work.
Yeah.
I was taking my work home. So that's one thing that was causing me a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. So I would be kind of getting all the paperwork done that we had to do.
Yeah.
And I'd be sitting at home and going to sleep at like 1 or 2, then getting up in the morning, waking up. I was waking up every day at like 5:30, getting ready, and I would get into school for about between 7:45 and 8, I'd get in. But I was burnt out.
Yeah.
Like that burnout, that day in the life of a teacher can be burning out. So how long did you normally have for lunch? Because, you know, I already had half an hour lunch and I've been cussing every day about that. Half an hour lunch. What's a half an hour lunch?
Well, in my first school, it was about 40 minutes. And in the next school, was an hour.
We got an hour
lunch in the next. But that was slightly different because it was a slightly different setting because it was a sixth form college.
Okay.
So it's different.
Yeah, okay.
So it was an hour long, and like I was so grateful for that because things like 30 minutes and 40 minutes go by so quickly. You finish eating your lunch and then you realize you've got about 10 minutes left to put, especially if you've got a lesson after lunch, you've got 10 minutes to prepare for that lesson.
To prepare the classroom. And also, the bell isn't going to go dead on that minute. It's going to go a little bit before. So the kids will start coming to your door before that. It can be a bit of a rush. And that goes back to your point earlier, talking about organisation. If you're not organised, it's not going to...
It won't help you at all. Yeah.
Like, invest in that teacher planner. Yep. Like, have your sticky notes, have your reminders on your phone.
Yeah, because I've done things last minute before, and I've done things that not in the last minute. And when, like, you can see a massive difference in, like, the quality of your teaching and the quality of the learning when you have prepared things in advance and when you have done things last minute, you can see a massive difference. It really does impact things, whether you're organised or not.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So we get to lunchtime. So how many periods a day was your school?
Let me think. Oh, I can't remember. Six.
Okay, so my first score was 6, and then my second score was 5. Yeah. The 5 period day was really, really good. So after lunch, we'd only have one more lesson. Mm-hmm. So that was all right. So aside from the teaching, the lesson planning, what other things did you have to do during the day?
Sometimes you might have that, like, you always have to check your emails. That's one thing I say, always check your emails, respond to emails. Oh my gosh. And things. That is so 7:30
in the morning, you've already got 30 emails from this person, that person, saying, where's that child? Did it. Oh my gosh, it's draining. Don't put your emails on your phone, guys. If you go into teaching, if you're currently a teacher, if you're an educator, take your emails off your phone.
Yeah, that's one advice, like, I was given as well.
Them on my laptop.
Do not put your school email on your phone. It's best to just keep it off your phone so you won't be tempted to start checking your school emails when you should be having some off time, like some free time to recuperate.
Exactly. Friday 4 o'clock was my cutoff time.
Yeah, I would not check my emails on the weekend.
Exactly, I'm not checking it. Don't email me on the weekend.
Nope.
There needs to be a work-life balance, and that's one thing. Obviously, this is the first podcast. I'm keeping throwing out ideas, but a discussion needs to be had about that. Teachers need to have a work-life balance. Mm-hmm. A lot of teachers take their work home, even across the summer that we'll be prepping for September.
Mm-hmm.
People think we're out here 6 weeks holidays. We're out here. No. We're not chilling. There are things that have to be done.
And the thing is, the work that you need to prepare in the summer is not just for, like, this is for the whole school year. You need to come up with a scheme of work and a teaching and learning schedule that needs to cover, like, it needs to cover you over the long term.
Exactly. And it can be stressful. Aside from that, you have to do things such as parents' evenings, making calls home, setting detentions.
Might have to write reports.
Write reports, exactly. We work with 16 to 19-year-olds also. Yeah. So working with students who are in sixth form, therefore we'll be doing UCAS references, mm-hmm. UCAS applications, personal statements, being a personal tutor. That's something we missed.
And
the list is never ending.
I use Google Classroom in both my schools. Okay. And in my off time, I'll be uploading resources and the lessons as well.
Okay, that's called Classroom. Okay.
That is really, like, a really useful program, especially for sixth form students. I feel like it gives them a sense of independence, and it's almost because it's similar to what would happen when you're in uni anyway, because everything goes up onto Moodle if that's the program that they have at the uni. So like in Google Classroom, you put their homework on there, you put the lesson on there, you can even put the lesson prior to the lesson so they can actually read everything and catch up on it, and you just give them all the resources in case they lose it. So things, it's really good for communicating.
Okay, that's great. I need to even think about myself. Okay, great. So, as everyone knows, our platform is called Black Teachers Connect. We are bringing Black teachers together across the world. I'm hoping as well that we can have a few international teachers step onto the platform and onto the podcast. But it will be wrong of me for us to not have a conversation about being young Black teachers and us being young Black teachers and what that has meant for our experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I do have a few questions that I want us to both touch on. Just a bit of background if you're not an educator, or even if you don't know the statistics. Black teachers in the UK, we make up about 13%. That's BME. So that's Black and ethnic minorities, 13%. Around 4 or 5% is Black. So the rest of it is other ethnic minority groups. And there are far less Black men working in schools compared to women. Mm. Okay, so that's just some of the statistics. So us going in, we are the minority when we go to work in schools. So straight off the bat, when I went into schools, my first school, there were quite a few Black teachers. My second school, I felt like a needle in a haystack. I felt like I stood at like a sore thumb. How did it feel for you when you went into your school? Were there a lot of ethnic minority teachers, Black teachers, or was it very diverse or not?
I'd say my first school, it still wasn't that diverse, but I'd say it was probably more diverse than my second school. So I would have to say that in both my placements, I was probably the minority. Like, there wasn't many Black teachers or like Asian teachers as either. So yeah.
And it's easy to see and it's easy to tell. And for me, the worst thing about it was when I went into the certain schools, you know, the students don't reflect the teachers. Yeah. You know, the students are diverse. They're a diverse bunch. And then you only have white teachers standing up at the front. And obviously, what message does that send to our young people also if they don't see people alike within their space? Yeah. And that's not me saying there shouldn't be white teachers. That's just me saying if you're working in a predominantly mixed area with mixed ethnic backgrounds, why wouldn't you have teachers that reflect that? You know, it makes sense to me anyway.
Yeah.
So how was your experience been as a young Black teacher? Do you think being a young Black teacher has had an impact on your experience?
I'd say, personally, I don't think I had any troubles in terms of race. I'd say I mostly had more issues with the fact that I was young. But right. At the same time, I won't ignore that there can be issues with race that I probably just chose to ignore. So,
right, so interesting.
Like staff room culture and
sometimes
awkward things can be mentioned and awkward things can be said that you can just, like, I used to think to myself, oh, that's a bit... It's a bit racist.
Touch on that staff room culture, huh?
Yeah.
That staff room culture is such an important thing that you just brought up there. Staff room culture, guys, if you don't know, I mean, some of you would have never been in a staff room that are listening. The staff room isn't the place to be. Not for me, anyway. I hate the staff room. Yeah. Give me a classroom and a desk over a staff room any day. You know, I think when we were in school, we used to think they were having a party in there. You know, the staff room, you couldn't, even if you knocked on the door, the teacher would be standing right there so you can't see in. Yeah. It's like they were having a whole lot of fun. Yeah. Guys, the staff room, what was your experience of the staff room? I'll give mine after.
Do you know what? In my first placement, nobody would hang out in the staff rooms. Like, they all had their own, like, departments and offices in my first placement, so nobody really hung out in the staff room. In my second placement, we did have more of a staff room culture. I pretty much got on with everyone, like, okay. I really did. Obviously, yeah, like, you would hear a lot of gossip about other teachers. You'd hear a lot of hear a lot of that, and you're just like, oh, should you be saying that? Okay.
Exactly. And it gets awkward.
When you see that person, you're just like,
Exactly. Yeah. It gets really, really sticky. So for me personally, staff room culture, both my schools, the first school, the staff room was really, really quiet. And then I took it upon myself to start speaking because I was like, I've come from a classroom with kids. Let me come and speak to some adults. Yeah. And I think with some of my colleagues, we developed a relationship that we would speak quite a bit in the staff room. But the staff room culture is dangerous. For example, me being a Black woman, a young Black teacher working in a school with predominantly Black students, why does it take for me to have a white male middle-class man male teacher come into the staff room saying, where were these kids brought up? In a barn, they're animals, they're horrible, they're disgusting, they've got no home training, what are their parents doing? And for me, that blatant, to me, what I would call overt racism in the staff room culture, you can't call that out because you feel so, it's like you're almost intimidated to call that out in the staff room because certain things are allowed to be said and it just goes with it. So I think after that, I completely avoid staff rooms. My last school, I completely avoided the staff room. I felt singled out. I felt left out. all the staff would eat their lunch together. Anytime I walked in, a particular staff member would always give me a dirty look, like, you better not be coming over here to sit down. And I just thought, you know what? I'm not even going to bother. I used to just go and sit down by the desk in the computer room, and I would get on with my work during lunch. I never went into the staff room. But in the same token, it's not good to be antisocial at work. Like, you still need to get to know your colleagues. But yeah, staff room culture, oh, should be banned. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. I don't like staff rooms. Not a fan at all. So you don't think you've experienced any racism?
Not blatantly. I've heard comments, and I've like heard things said that, like, I personally like would say that was racist. I'm trying to think of a particular time, like a particular moment, but I can't. Nothing is coming to mind right now. But I've definitely heard teachers like say things, even about the kids, that are just.
It's more about the kids.
More about the kids, or even like about society in general. I've definitely heard things said that I just don't sit well with me. I'm not comfortable with, but not directly like put towards me. But I will say, like, obviously being a young teacher, I think sometimes that can also have a negative effect on you as a teacher, because I think sometimes other teachers can maybe look at you as inexperienced and don't take you as seriously or like value your opinion. I definitely feel like I've experienced some of that in some of my time during my course. I've definitely felt that, like, because of my age or because I'm like young, I think sometimes some teachers have felt like you know, you don't have an opinion.
Yeah, like, you don't know what you're talking about, you don't know anything. And I think that comes with it so a lot. So if you don't know, on the PGCE you have mentors, so you have what they deem to be more experienced teachers coming on board to basically shape you into a teacher. And what I found is with my mentors, even if they were older than me, some of the things I knew I was doing right, like things that I knew that was how it should be done, they will be saying, no, you should have done it like this. Like, and I know sometimes they feel like they are right, but sometimes a new take on things, a young take on things is important. Yes. And as a young teacher, we can see things differently. And I always say that as well. Young teachers bring something different to the table.
Because we're fresh. Like, we've just come out of uni. We've got these fresh ideas that we can contribute.
Right. Exactly. We bring new ideas to the table. We haven't been teaching for 20 years. Don't get me wrong. Big up all my 20-year, 10-year teachers out there that have been doing this thing. You've paved the way for us teachers to come on board. But at the same time, let us come in and make a bit of a difference. Let us make a change. Yeah. Even with things like, for example, you know, like all of the, for example, like Twitter drama. Yeah, that goes on. Sometimes this stuff spills over into the classroom, and I don't even think people realize.
Yes.
People will be talking about this stuff in the classroom, but as a young teacher, I know how to shut it down and move on. Older teachers will be handing out detentions, X, Y, Z, or letting them continue the conversations because they don't really know what these kids are talking about today. You know what I mean? Like, Twitter drama. I used to go to work sometimes, and obviously, I'm young. I have social media. I will go on Twitter, see Twitter drama.
You understand why am I exactly going into the classroom? What they're talking about.
Yeah, why do I know what they're talking about? But the thing is, it's important for me to understand what the kids are talking about. It's that cultural capital that we have in comparison to other older teachers. They don't necessarily have it. And that's one thing I think came to a benefit in the first year of teaching. Especially with things like behavior management.
You can incorporate those, like, people need to understand you can also incorporate those things into your lessons. Like, I've used things that have been going on in the news and in terms of like things that young people will know about. I've used that as examples in my lessons, like things like drill music, knife crime.
I've
put funny gifs in my PowerPoints, like Cardi B's catchphrase. I put that on my PowerPoint slides,
yeah,
things like that, just to add a bit of humor, because I know that they will understand that. I know that they'll be able to relate to that.
Exactly. And I think that's all a benefit to us, and it also gives us a strength in the classroom. But sometimes older teachers don't see it as a strength. They see it as like, oh, you're trying to like be their friend, or you're not doing this well, you're not doing that well. It's not. You're trying to make the classroom an environment where all students can thrive. Mm-hmm. That's how I see it. It's where all of them can basically be themselves and achieve the best they can. So that's also really important. I wouldn't say I've experienced any microaggressions per se. Nothing crazy. I mean, I avoided changing my wig. wig for the duration. Do you know what it was? I was like, I don't want the kids to be confused. Okay. I really don't want them to be confused. Especially when I was in the white middle class school. I was like, if I walk in today with this highlighted hair and tomorrow I have my black bob, they're going to be looking at me like, is this woman okay? Obviously, I know they know some of my real hair, but I just think the process, I was like, nah. So even those things as well, during the first year of teaching, I was like, you know, I need to get a work wig. I need to find a wig.
I'm not going to lie, sometimes, like if it was like after half term or something and I had a new hairstyle, sometimes I'd be nervous to come in because I just think like, oh my God, they're going to wonder why my hair's different. What are they going to say about it? Because like, I know when I was in school, we used to make fun of our teachers sometimes. Like if they came in with a hairstyle that wasn't particularly nice or...
How we were as students, and I'm scared of that.
You don't want to become the laughing stuff, but I guess that comes with the territory.
Exactly, it comes with that. It's definitely stressful, but I think being young and also being black for the ethnic minority students, it definitely was a connection. I will never forget when a year seven student came up to me. This was a student that was in my form group, so she one of the few black girls in the predominantly white school, and she came up to me and she said, Miss, like, you know, you're not leaving, are you? Because we've not got no black teachers here. We need a black teacher. I was like, oh my God, like, I feel so bad because I know I'm not staying there. I know I'm not staying in this school, but for her to basically come up to me and kind of like beg me, like, you're not going to leave me, it's kind of like, we need more black teachers. Where are you?
Yeah.
We need you for our young people. I definitely understand.
I've definitely had those comments put to me as well when they'll say, I think I was in an art lesson once. Like, I was just observing because, you know, you do a bit of observations in like the few weeks. Yeah. One of the boys said to me, oh, are you going to be our new art teacher? And I said, oh, no, sorry. Like, art is not my subject. And then he said, well, that's a shame because I've never had a black teacher before.
Wow.
Yeah. So those things really touch them. And that sometimes as like a black teacher, sometimes you walk into the classroom, especially when you're new in the school, and the kids are all looking at you like wondering, oh, who is she? Why is she here? And they're all eagerly asking you, are you going to be our teacher? And then they get really excited when you say, yes, I'm going to be your teacher. Or like you can just see the excitement in their eyes, like, oh my God, like, wow. Yeah,
someone that reminds me of my mother.
Definitely see that they're excited when you say that you're going to be their teacher, or that when they see you in the classroom, they're like, oh my God.
It's really important. And you know, with this push, you know, a lot of platforms are at the moment that I think are really trying to push for more black teachers, which I think is amazing. We really need not even just black teachers, ethnic minority teachers. Yeah, I'm not going to limit it to just black teachers, but even ethnic minority teachers, we need them. Like, the classroom teachers need more diversity. You know what I mean? So even with you, your journey from moving from a teaching assistant to a classroom teacher with that, would you say there are more teaching assistants of colour?
Yeah, there are. That, I would say, is definitely... There's more diversity there than in teaching, way more. Even in things like other things like the cleaners in the school, dinner ladies in the school.
Oh my gosh, all minorities. And then as you work your way further up, and then you've got senior leaders, they're white.
Less and less diverse. I think more people. I think more people need to be, I think it's just encouragement and like representation as well. I feel like I think a lot of minorities do think that maybe they won't get into these positions, and you know they've been told that it's difficult to get into these positions. And even when I was going to apply to be a teacher, I definitely had people say that it's going to be hard for me to get onto this school. I definitely had people say those things to me.
Of course.
But I was just like, well, or, I don't care. I'm
or downplaying the profession. Yeah, of course. 100%. What did someone say to me? You know what my brother's friend said to me when I told him I'm a teacher?
What did he say?
He was like, oh yeah, you're a teaching assistant. Yeah, that's what you're doing at the moment. I said, what? I said, no, I'm a classroom teacher. And he was like, raw, swear down. I was like, what?
Everyone always gets surprised. Yeah.
And another thing that people are always surprised about, and shout out all my primary school people. In primary. Shout out. The assumption is you're a young black girl. You might be a bit good looking. Oh, you work in primary school. You're one of
primary school teachers.
No, I'm a primary school teacher because I'm a woman and I'm young. No, not at all. Not at all. And we've also got someone coming on the platform that works in primary, a black male teacher. He works in primary school. And I think that would be good for you
that
guys
will
to
be
hear.
Very interesting.
Yeah, for you guys to hear his experience.
There's less males in primary school statistically. It's always more females, obviously, because of, in terms of like gender representation and the way gender is portrayed in society. I think it puts a lot of men off wanting to work in primary schools because I think of the way gender is portrayed in society as well. Well, I think it's to do with the gender portrayal.
Yeah, of course.
Young small kids and it being, people might assume it to be more of a motherly thing and more of a thing.
Because women tend to be nurturers. So they any work
so I think
in
it would be definitely
school.
Interesting to hear about his experiences. I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's going to be really important to have these conversations. And when he assumed that I worked in primary, I didn't understand why. So I'm like looking at him like, why? And why are you assuming that I'm also a teaching assistant?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I be a classroom teacher? Again, does it boil down to the fact that we are black? Does it boil down to the fact that we are young? You know, what did we see when we were growing up as students? I only remember one significant black teacher that I had, and that was actually in college. That wasn't even during school. These issues will be touched upon. Oh yeah, we didn't even touch on assignments, guys. We forgot to tell you.
Those assignments. My advice, keep on top of it.
Yeah. So guys, if you don't know the PGCE route, you have to do master's assignments. So a lot of my friends will see me talking about I'm doing my master's. What it is basically we'll be doing one half of a master's, so 60 credits. And if you want to, you can do the other half next year. So they're both 5,000 words, right? 5,000 word assignments. Ooh, child.
Yeah.
I get in the debt. Honey, listen. It takes you back to the uni days, trust me. It was not fun.
Yeah.
It's
not
fun.
Like, what makes this even more difficult is that you are doing your teaching practice, you are planning lessons, and you're doing all sorts of other paperwork that you have to fill in.
Exactly.
On top of preparing for your assignment, and you have to collect evidence for that assignment, real evidence.
As in pictures of your students' work. I think you have to be on top of it.
Which means your planning has to factor in whatever you want to be in your assignment.
Oh my gosh. It's ridiculous, guys.
So
it's
I'd say one thing is to definitely keep on top. That's why you need to be organized as well, because you need to also keep on top of that as well.
So boy, yeah, there's a lot to be spoken about. I do have someone stepping onto the platform next week. We've got a young she's a PE teacher, actually. She's a PGCE student, PE teacher. She'll be stepping onto the podcast to discuss her experience as a PGCE student. Will be quite interesting to hear that as well. But guys, it is stressful. But there are different routes into teaching.
Yeah.
There are different routes. And we are going to have a podcast on that and what the different routes into teaching can be. Because the PGCE might not be for you. You might not want to do assignments, okay? So don't stress out and think you're listening to this like, oh, hell no, I'm not going to be a teacher. There are different routes. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not...
Yeah.
It's not final. There are different ways that you can get into being a teacher. Okay, so Michelle, just round off on a quick fun point. What are your
Okay.
plans for your summer holidays?
Summer holidays, I am going. Obviously, I'll have my induction at my
New
new school
school.
that will be starting in September.
Yeah.
So, and maybe a couple of weeks and stuff just planning and preparing for that. But I'm going to make sure that I actually just really enjoy my summer and like celebrate the fact that I finished this course and I'm about to start a new job.
Yes, exactly. Amazing. Mine's pretty similar. Literally gonna be out here. I'm doing a few things. I don't even think I can mention them on a podcast because I can't mention them on the socials. But I'm doing a few things
Yeah.
in relation to obviously school working and stuff like that. Obviously I'm gonna be planning as well. I'm also gonna be working. Those are most people know on the platform that I am a youth worker as well. So I will be doing that on the side too.
Oh,
Ooh, so
cool.
I'm not gonna get a break from the kids. So they're
Make
gonna
sure
be
you rest, you
rested.
know.
Rest. So we're winding up at
Make sure you.
carnival. With no rest. No rest for the wicked. And carnival will be the highlight, guys. We need to do a podcast on carnival and should teachers go to carnival? Because that is a hot debated topic. As an educator, should you be at carnival? Maybe we will have a discussion about that at some
Definitely.
point because I think it will be interesting to get people's takes on that. But it's been a great conversation. Wonderful talking to you, Michelle.
Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. First of many to come. I'm sure we'll have you on again soon.
Yeah.
So that is great. All right, guys, signing out from Black Teachers Connect to lesson one. Hope you've enjoyed it. Remember to share with your friends. Leave us a comment below and also subscribe to the podcast. We're on all platforms.